Okay, so I'm grateful to the organisers for inviting me. It's great to have a soapbox and whine about stuff for half an hour. So that's me. I want to make some general comments about big data. Some of them are going to sound cynical. Then most of this is my personal view. Imperial College would formally disassociate itself from some of the things I'm going to say. I'm going to talk about my experience with analyzing network traffic data, computer network traffic data, as a big data example. And I'm going to try and link in some of that to statistical challenges with big data. I pulled this off the internet, so it must be true. This is what's hot, what's coming in data science. And so, well, it used to be warehouse data, now it's open data, rich data, not big data, so already we're dead. Big data, that's last year's stuff, right? Everyone loves data now, geeks loved data before. The one that I find particularly funny, data science scientists with a BA compared to data science scientists with computer science. Find that a little insulting. I think about music. I really love music. But the idea that I have anything to say about the performance of music, that I could participate in that, seems ridiculous. Anyway, I set this up because I wanted to try and say something funny before the boredom starts. So the upbeat version of that is that list is very socially aware. It's an inclusive, let's get it together, let's do this together sort of view of where data science is going. On the other hand, it's just marketing tasks, right? It's just rubbish. But the point about all that stuff is it's not addressing any of the technical issues that may arise with trying to do big data. We had excellent, excellent talks this morning on some technical stuff. The question is, how do you take that technical, mathematically excellent stuff and make it work on big data, right? That's the question. All that other stuff is guff. So, what is big data? Well, my students aren't allowed to plagiarize from Wikipedia, but I am. So, this is the start of the Wikipedia definition. And I want to jump straight to difficult to process. Okay, yeah, good, that's true. Using traditional data processing. The challenges include analysis, capture, curation, search, sharing, storage, transfer, visualization, and privacy. Well, so I think I'm the token stats guy here for this afternoon. So the only word that jumps out to me is analysis. That sounds like stats to me. The rest of these things, capture, curation, search, sharing, storage, that sounds like computer science. Perfectly good. So I want to get towards the idea that computer science and stats have to work together, that we have to find new ways to think. I've noted the last privacy violations. If you read my title page, I may be guilty of some of those. I apologize. That's an issue that we have to keep in mind always. Now, here's the cynical view. Data science is a rebrand. Data science, big data is a rebranding of data mining, which in many ways could be argued to be a rebranding of statistics. So if you look at the internet, right, you'll see lots of promise, lots of sales pitch of the character of, if you can get this data and you do something, you'll make a profit. Now, since none of us here were born yesterday, right? That can't be true. So there's got to be some intermediate position. I'd like to back this claim. I do quite a lot of consulting for startup companies. And all the time they come along and say, we've got this data, can you do something magic to it? And since you're paying, yes. But it turns out that I normally can't because there's no signal in the data. Now, I think a better description of big data that you see on the internet is it's got these five features. All right, volume, there's a lot of it. Velocity, it's coming fast. Variety, it's coming from all sources. I saw Osama Fayed, who's the chief data officer of Barclays, give a talk, and they're trying to do their customer relationship management. And they've got bank account records, and they go off to Twitter and see what people are tweeting about, and they go and get the weather and think about how that fits in. They try and bring everything in. So variety. So that's kind of like the more signal processing engineering type people here are very familiar with the idea of data fusion. This is the sort of data fusion where you have no idea if these things can be fused. Veracity, well, to a statistician, that means data quality. And value, good word. I'm going to end on that. Value is what's the worth of the data? Can we get something out of it? Good question to ask. So there are challenges with each of those, and I'm going to talk about two of them. You want to note these other things. Data mining was originally conceived as secondary processing. You've got data that you've collected for some other reason, and now you hope you can extract nuggets of information. This was the data mining picture 15 years ago. Bank account records used for various things. Supermarket shopping records, somebody from Dunnhumby's talking later. That's been usefully co-opted. I have a Tesco club card, so I'm the recipient of this. That's been usefully co-opted for customer relationship management, and so on and so on. Most of that data was collected for accounting and control, in fact. Big data, it seems to me, the big data pitch that's different to data mining is it has an ambition to say, get everything. Get and use everything. Now, whether that's a good idea is a matter we'll keep visiting. So, I mentioned that I would talk about cybersecurity. So this is what I work on. And it's important. So this was stuff going on just before Christmas. Hack attack causes massive damage at steelworks. You must all know about the following five, which were happening very fast, the Sony hack. So that cost money, right? Sony were hurt by that, and they'll be even more hurt on the basis of the litigation that will happen because personnel records were released. So this stuff is kind of, when I write grant proposals, I always use this kind of story, you know, money plus social, right? That's got to win. Now, cyber is a funny business. There's lots of sorts of cyber attacker, and there's lots of sorts of victims. All of us here who ever use a computer are, in principle, victims. Some of us here may be attackers. So what I'm concerned with, for the purpose of this talk, I'm thinking about defending a corporate network. So you've got a boundary with a firewall, a device called firewall, and you've got a bunch of computers on the network, and we're trying to help the network analysts, the experts, understand their data better so they can find things. They can monitor the network, they can find new breaches. Sophisticated attacks are such that they try and appear legitimate, like any sort of fraud. So there's all sorts of targets, but I'm here talking about defending a network, helping network analysts defend the network. And mostly, well, that was a good picture, wasn't it? Like that. Oh, going too fast. Oh, no. Stay with me. I hope no one has problems with this. Right. So the idea is there's lots of network traffic data, and we seek to help reduce that, filter it, provide analysts the tools to filter this down so they can find the stuff that's interesting to them. There's no way I have the expertise of a network analyst about protocols and so on. So we've got to give them tools so they can thin the data. And in this, there were some brilliant talks this morning about networks. I'm going to touch on the network things a bit, but the data is kind of different, and we tend to think more about computers or connections between computers rather than the large-scale structure of the network, the large-scale representation of the network. I'll come back to that. For the record, this approach, and I'll describe the data in a second, is not packet capture. So it's possible to put a device on the backbone of the network to pick up every packet. Our friends in Cheltenham have been kind of accused of doing this, right? I'm not talking about that, and it's impractical for a university. All my examples will be based on the Imperial Network. The volume of that is so great, it's just infeasible to collect, let alone analyze. There's also a privacy concern with that. And there's also the need to give the analyst the capability for discovery as well as diagnosis. The traditional model is your machine gets hacked, a network analyst comes in, and he looks at some packet capture if he's got it and determines how the hack happened. Too late. I'm going to give analysts tools to find new things to go and look at. So discovery rather than diagnosis. And this is an example from my colleague Josh Neal at Los Alamos National Lab to give you some sort of idea of how sophisticated these attacks can be. So the dots are a representation of computers on their network. It's actually a summary, it's a reduction. So what happened is somebody from a foreign country, choose your favorite, breached this computer by a phishing email, by a spear phishing email. They then tried, because they'd compromised that machine, they tried some other machines that machine had access to, that it had credentials for. These two didn't work, this one did. So this is time ordered. Okay, this machine got compromised. Tried again. Oop. Tried again, didn't work. This one did. Slowly moving towards a target. The target here is their Active Directory servers, part of their core infrastructure. You get that, you've got everything. They were stopped at this point. This was done with data in 15-minute bins using an extremely sophisticated path search algorithm, an algorithm extremely highly tuned to find three paths with a temporal order in this mass of data. But that's a sophisticated attack. Now, Imperial, about 40,000 nodes on the network, compressed 12 terabytes of data a month. It's traditional. It's traditional at big data conference to boast about how big your data is. There's my boast. Or 15 gigabytes an hour. That's quite a lot, I suppose. And the data I'm going to describe presently is a summary of a coherent flow of packets between two computers. It's a summary that drops the content and just record something about source and destination and volume. And we know from experience that there isn't a strong signal in that. And that's the kind of theme of data, of big data. Not necessarily a very strong signal in any of this. So we probably want to find ways to combine evidence, to construct statistical procedures that combine evidence in various ways. For Imperial and UCL, I'm sure, there are particular concerns. Every different organization is attacked by somebody different. You know, people are going after different things for different reasons. College Imperial is particularly concerned about illegal transfer of copyright material. So that means movies. Why? Because Sony are already pissed off because they just got hacked. So they want to recuperate some of that money, recoup some of that money. So naturally, if they can find that we're doing that, they can sue us. College doesn't like being sued, so naturally that's a concern. And the other constraint that universities have, that businesses, for those of you who are business people, a university network is the Wild West. Universities impose pretty much no restrictions on what can be done, what can be looked at, right? Why? Well, we have halls of residence. That's somebody's home. if they want to look at something awful like Disney.com, right? They're completely, well, college cannot rule on that. So we have, except for what is formally illegal, and there are things that are formally banned, right, by law, apart from that, it's the Wild West, and we do all sorts of things on the network, which makes this kind of monitoring particularly difficult. So so I don't do anything. I just stand up and give silly talks, right? My colleagues and I are developing a Hadoop infrastructure to do this kind of monitoring at scale. And I'll touch back to that. So finally, the data. NetFlow describes a connection. It summarizes it into stuff like this: timing, duration, what protocol it was, source and destination addresses and ports. So ports on the network are like, port 80 is HTTP, so by default you'd do a web request that way. 443 is SSL, so that's secure HTTP, so there's a layer of encryption, and so on. And some stuff about how much data was moved. And various other things about, there are a bunch of flags about handshakes. Now, this already, I think, has the character of a big data problem. Data quality. The way this is collected, I've avoided. It's collected on a device called a router, and Imperial has 17 main routers doing this, and it's something to do with the logical layout of the network. We see lots of, we collect this data, it's pushed off the routers onto a machine. There's any number of duplications in there that create problems. Data quality, if it's on a subnet, if it's in a very local part of the network, we never see the record. It has to go through a router. Direction, well, if it's a TCP connection, then you're reasonably confident that the direction is right. Source and destination are correctly attributed. If it's a UDB connection, no. So you're not always sure about the direction. Timing, we had a fun story talking to the network analyst who said, well, you see, these three routers out of 17, they're really good. The clocks are set and they reset very quickly and they're on time. Okay, great, three, what about the others? No, they drift all over the place. So timing is bad. Now, it turns out that timing is important. Timing is important in this application. Scale, okay, so I gave you my big numbers already. What's going on? What's the underlying process? There's two things, right? One is there's you, the human, doing stuff. And the other thing is the machine is doing stuff on its own. Let's get some audience participation going. How many of you use Dropbox? Okay, many. Right, so unless you tinkered with the settings of your Dropbox client, every 30 seconds, that does an update. There's a checking update, right? And if you look, you can determine this with network tools. If you look at who it's connecting to, it's all over the world. It's doing these connections against sites all over the world. Okay? That's not you. That's the machine doing stuff. So the underlying process has two components. It's got what the human is doing and what the machine wants to do. Machine change, so machines can change IP addresses. Anonymity, we need to, you know, I was told when I started this project two things. First, if you try hard, individuate a computer. And that's fun, right? Because then I can go and look at that port 80 and see what sort of websites they visit, and then I can see what sort of preference they have in certain areas. Not allowed to do that. The other thing they said was, don't go looking for illegal stuff, because we're required by law to report it. So we don't. Right? Never mind whether we should, we don't. So anonymity is an issue here. Now, in terms of analyzing this data, you've got to think about the focus. Lots of good stuff about graphs earlier. I tend to think the large-scale graph structure isn't an issue here, right? my machine gets compromised, and I use that to compromise Patrick's. It's local instruction, it's local in time and graph space. So we can think about events, edges, nodes, neighborhoods, more than large-scale structure. I'll come back to that. So I want to comment on two things now of those five Vs, volume and velocity. And I'll try and link them to that cyber story. First of all, the ongoing war between computer science and statistics. Although some people have solved this by being both. Yeah, and you as well, yeah, I know. So if we look at big data from the point of view of a computer scientist, it's about making the hardware better, making the search capability better, making the software infrastructure better, constructing and proving that algorithms will behave in certain ways, providing guarantees that if you search for something, you will find that which you searched for. Creating languages to make this easy. All good stuff. Statistics, none of that, right? The intersection of these sets is empty. We care about inference, right? It's not the data, it's what we can pull out of the data. What value, what knowledge, insight can we get? And I'm going to use the word statistics and machine learning kind of replaceably here. So we want new inferential tools. We want to handle uncertainty, right? Variation. First talk, it's all about hidden sources of variation. Try to handle that. And mathematical properties of the tools. And then you've got applied statistics doing that. So big data, statistics meets big data, meets computer science when you try and do it, right? Making this work is the problem. And that already creates a dichotomy. I might try and, if I'm a computer scientist, I might try and optimize my search mechanism for some general sort of search. I, the statistician, don't care about that. I want to do something else. Those things automatically fall in conflict. So for me, for the work at Imperial, I use standard versions of Hadoop, which a computer science colleague told me is kind of old hat. Yeah, that's what you did 3 years ago. I don't care about that. I want a stable engine so I can access the data. That's all. These things need to be sort of clearly delineated. Now, okay, here's a bold claim. Volume. The problem has always been we can't get the data in memory. That's the fundamental problem. If we could, we wouldn't be talking about this. Now, that's got worse. That fundamental problem is made worse by the fact that modern cloud systems distribute the data. So now I've not just got to deal with the fact I can't get it in memory. I can't have it all in the memory on the same core. This is the problem that statisticians have with attacking big data. Hadoop, my experience with Hadoop, great for querying. If I want to pull out all NetFlow records associated with an address, an IP address, or within a block of time, brilliant. It'll do that fantastically efficiently. I want to say, right, get them, and now I want to fit a model where I need to do some optimization, some incremental optimization procedure. Not very good for that. These things kind of don't interface well. Now, I think there are two classes of things we can think about. This is my broad categorization. We want to build models. We want to build a model that's a description of the whole data, a regression model. We heard about some of that this morning. Or we want to do pattern detection. We want to find small local structures. Okay. Only 5 minutes. Set the fire alarm off. Okay. Now, can we treat the data as an IID sample? Let's suppose we can. Then the problem with big data is that nearly all of conventional statistical hypothesis testing will find a significant effect because you've got so much data. This hurts, right? You can't use that engine. Later on, my colleague Patrick will talk about the idea that you want to do lots of hypothesis testing with big data. This morning's clever speakers needs to invent a new paradigm for that. I tend to favor resampling procedures in principle, but the computation hurts. But fortunately, people have found ways to stop Monte Carlo procedures and resampling procedures early, stop it as soon as you can. Don't waste the computation. If we're interested in building models, we don't need to use all the data if we can rely on this IID sample nonsense. Sampling is fine. In fact, sampling is good. Regression type procedures exhibit a learning curve. You don't need all the data. You'll get near optimal performance with lots less. Better to spend that computational effort on model selection, variable selection, feature selection. If we want to do anomaly detection, I want to find that 1 in 100 billion event, then sampling isn't going to help. At this point, there's some brilliant work going on with trying to scale up exact inference procedures. My colleague Dan up there has an alternative. Let's do approximation. But I think the question to ask is, when do I need an exact inference procedure? Do I always need it for what I'm doing? If I'm doing some sort of EDA thing, do I really need that? I think we've got to think that way a bit. Time is critical. This is my way for big data collected, because it can be. Time is critical, and it tends to kill any IID assumption. The world changes. That happens particularly in cyber. So a challenge in big data. How do we automatically handle the fact that the world is changing, the data is changing? The final point here, I want to, for the cyber application, I want to look at computer by computer in some way. And when I look at one computer, there isn't much data, but a few gigabytes maybe. Something manageable. It's the fact that I've got 40,000 of them to handle that starts to hurt. So not all big data problems are big. It's the fact that you've got a population of objects creating the big data. Graphs, we heard a lot about excellent stuff this morning. There is a network implied in this cyber application, but it's a dynamic structure. One way to characterize it is you've got a set of nodes and you've got an event processing, a marked event process operating on an edge. That still remains a challenge. We need better models, and we heard a lot of good stuff about that this morning. Okay, velocity. Sometimes the data is passing by so fast, so Imperial's NetFlow data is 17,000 transactions a second. Quite fast. Maybe we don't want to keep this, and maybe we need to do analysis in place. Data in motion, sometimes called. So methodologically, I like taking standard statistical procedures and imbuing them with an exponential forgetting factor, because you can sometimes do some fun maths with that, right? I think that's a good way to handle this. But the two key issues are you've only got to touch the data once, and you've got to handle the fact the world is moving. It's a time-varying process. The future may not be like the past. So we've got to do that efficiently. And often in real big data systems, analytics, procedure, counting procedures, estimation procedures are put in a pipeline. The data comes, you do something to it. Create some output, you do something else to it, and so on. If we're going to rely on the machine to do that, we need to have models that can monitor themselves. And that's, I think, a very interesting problem. That's some guff about my research, but we won't do that. That also is. There's some graphs, right? I just feel like I want to belong. There's some pictures of some graphs. Okay, what does that say? The problem with big data is it's sold in such a way that the more is better. If I can handle a billion objects, maybe I can handle a trillion. That's, for a statistician, that's completely the wrong way of thinking. It's not to do with how much, it's to do with what you can extract. And the big data pitch, the marketing pitch, tends to favor the more is better. I think there are two fundamental sources of difficulty, two basic sources of difficulty. We heard some of the excellent talks this morning. How do we reason in the abstract if we have big data? And then the second problem is, how do we make this happen in the processing system that we have? If it's a Hadoop cloud implementation or IBM's streaming infrastructure, how do we take the statistical know-how and melt it into that world. These are all exciting challenges, and I'm optimistic we'll make progress. And that's me done. Thank you.